from the letters of Rav Kook, we're learning, in order to help us understand it, the Torah we're learning in Aris HaKadosh, we're learning Igeres Tav Pei Gimel. That's where up to when this Inyan started. Letter Tav Pei Gimel. Okay, Tav Pei Gimel. one of the many letters in Rav Kook, Rav Kook's Igeres, one of the literally thousands of places in his Torahs regarding this fire that was burning inside of him. Of we'll see the words he uses in a few minutes. Havu or, calling out to the Rabbanim, the Rosh Hashivas, the leaders of the generation. Havu or, give light. Give light. Give light to the Jews. Or chalishing for light. Havu or, havu or. At Rav Kook's time, the kfira was a kfira that was oftentimes, I'd say, largely it was outright heresy, atheism, and it was very at that time it was very popular. It was mislabish, the gullus of the neshama. Gullus HaNefesh was mislabish, was enclosed in that anger of heresy, the anger of strong atheism and so on. And the main form of response, main response on the part of the elders of the generation that Rav Kook saw, the main response was to be angry in return, to yell back that you're a bunch of Rishayim, a bunch of Abikarsim, and to reject outright all of these people, the new generation, the young generation, that was filled with kfir. And nowadays, as we spoke about a few weeks ago, nowadays this Golas HaNefesh is not mislabesh and outright kfira, atheism. It's not the ikker levush of the Golas HaNefesh. The ikkel of Vush is now leishama moishe mikoyet teruach ma'avay dakasha. It's an apathy. It's feeling that the Yiddishkeit that I was raised with doesn't speak to me, isn't relevant. It's hearing messages from the people who are supposed to be our leaders that just seem so distant and detached from who I am and what I'm going through. And all of this has led to tremendous, tremendous cynicism and emptiness and a feeling of distance, coldness towards Yiddishkeit. And Mimela, a tremendous, tremendous obsession with this world and the getting ahead in this world. And nowadays, this is much more with people who are Shema Termis, as opposed to Rav Kook's time, he was talking about Jews who left the yeshivas, who left their parents' homes, and went away from everything. It's not so much how it is now, though this, of course, is rebelliousness now. But the rebelliousness is not in the levush of that kfir of the old days. It comes with a certain sadness, a depression, and anxiety, a sense of loneliness and emptiness and so on. Adrabba, with a tremendous tshuka to return to Elokus, the cure that Rav Kook spoke about 100 years ago is the same cure now. We're on page 192. These letters were taken by this Talmud Chacham, and he gave shiurim on some of the, about his name again, he gave shiurim on Rav David Gavrieli, gave shiurim on some of the igros of Rav Kook on different subjects. And it just helps to sort of translate and bring down to earth what Rav Kook is telling us in the letter. So on page 192, we're a little past halfway down the page, maybe two-thirds down the page. In the middle of the sentence, beginning with the word karoi. The sentence begins with the word karoi. It's where I have my yellow sticky. I don't know what color your sticky is. Now I know if on a computer you could put a sticky. But where it says, Oid ha-machshava chazaka, the dark words are Rav Kook's actual words. Oid ha-machshava chazaka hi, she-beskulais yirapuas shivrein. Rav Kook says that there's a common mahalach, there's a thought that's out there that there are, that we can cure this tzibrochenkeit, we can cure this terrible problem of our generation with skulas. Skulas means that there are cures that don't make any sense, that are not rational. And different skulas, things that could be done that don't really address the underlying problem. A school, there are schools, of course, that are old and ain't, you know, holy and so on. A school for this sickness, a school for that sickness. Schoolists, if they are rooted in Kedusha, they can sometimes help with a cure. But when the sickness is so widespread, you can imagine that now, if the response of the greatest doctors of the world to this virus would be to stand under the moon, when it's whole, and to say Shalom Aleichem, Aleichem Shalom. We believe there's something to that. There's something great to that. But people are dying. People are dying all the time. And schoolers, sometimes in some mysterious way, they might work. And people become obsessed with schoolers. That's why one of the tzaddikim said we're called an Am Segula. One of the reasons we're called an Am Segula. So people who are hurt and people who are broken, they'll look for all kinds of schoolers. You know, you get some tzaddik to daven for you 40 days in Amuka. You put money in the pushka for that particular tzedaka, and you're guaranteed to have long life, because it says in the Sefer from some chacham from, you know, 100 years ago, that if you give this tzedakah on this day while the rooster is making a tumult, so if you time it perfectly, you'll have a cure. Most of these things are nothing, and even the ones that are don't solve the problem. Schoolers. The schools don't fill the soul. They don't fill a person's soul. The kfira, the heresy, the atheism in our times, the pathetic emptiness, mamish, the emptiness, the apathy, the pathetic apathy of our times can only be cured by filling the soul. By filling the soul. A schooler doesn't fill the soul. It just doesn't. With what we're going through now also, Chava, it's good, whatever the schooler saw here, I have the Kamarna, the Heiliger schooler, I say this all the time for myself and for all of us, tefillahs from my geifa and so on. And there are many, many powerful schools that we have. But that a person should not slip into fear, anxiety, sadness, and so on, and be disabled by those emotions, one has to fill one's soul. When a person's soul is full, so then he's not afraid. He's not depressed. Schoolers don't fill the soul. Some work, some don't. But they don't fill the soul. They don't save you when it comes to how you're feeling and how you're reacting and responding to difficulties. That can only be done by deep, deep, deep Torah. deep Torah. Again, Oida Marshava Chazoki Shabaskulis Yerapus Shavenu Baskulis Shanishama Enemismalamihan. Schools don't fill the soul. All kinds of potions and charms and incantations and all, even the ones that are real, they don't make you into a person that's happy, confident, strong. So he explains, it's Rabbi Gavrieli. Those who think that the way to contend with the crisis of kfira, of rejection of Yiddishkeit, of loss of faith, is with skulas, which means, it doesn't mean rabbit's foot. Bipisroinis mekaimim means trying to put out some little fire with some local anesthetic. Anesthesia. But they're not really dealing with the root of the problem. Because you might be able to take care of some of the symptoms of the virus, and maybe you could bring the fever down a little bit. Maybe you could soften up some of the coughing. And so on, but you haven't really solved the problem of this sickness and its shirish of what it is. That hasn't been solved. That's waiting to be resolved. And the shirish of what it is. And these schools don't give the soul the nourishment that the soul needs in order to fight against the kfir, to have the immunization, to be able to have the strength, the immunity, I mean, I don't know what the right word is, to be able to preempt the kfira, to cure the kfira, and to prevent the kfira from happening again in our children, our grandchildren, ourselves. Because the immune system is broken, is down. And when the immune system is broken, when the immune system is not strong, then the person is very vulnerable to any virus of kfira on any level that's out there. And whatever will come his way, whatever the ruach is, whatever is blowing in the wind, whatever sickness in kfira, in ruchnius, is blowing in the wind, or whatever taiva is blowing in the wind, it will destroy the person. Because the immune system is completely down. It's broken. The skulas could help a little bit with some of the symptoms of the sickness. But they don't get to the root of where this sickness is coming from. And because of that, it keeps on happening. And there are more and more of victims to the sickness. What's the shirish? What's the root of the kfir? What's the root of the loneliness? What's the root of the emptiness? That's what Rav Kook spoke about all the time. And he's talking about here in this letter. And in his words, kol zman shein mamalim isa, as long as we don't fill the soul. With what it needs most to satisfy its life. That the neshama is given what it needs. So that the neshama can immunize the owner of that neshama to all of the viruses that are blowing around in the world. We have to be busy with things that fill the soul. Nishmas Hayachiv and Nishmas Ta'uma. The soul of the individual, this is the Perish, the soul of the individual and the soul of the nation. That gives the neshama life. And when the neshama is alive, it communicates that life to the guf. And that changes a person. That brings a person to a place where he's able to have the strength to fight against any of these diseases. And even though occasionally there'll be some mild symptom, because the ruach's throes are very strong, but the person will be able to overcome them. But when a person's health, when a person's connection to Elokus is compromised, when his connection to Elokus is compromised, when he has spiritual heart condition, respiratory problems, diabetes, chas v'sholem, nuchnias. So when the disease comes, because it's everywhere, when the disease comes, when the virus comes, how's he supposed to fight against it? With a skula? With a charm? With an incantation? With some cream? How is he supposed to fight against it? B'shum oifen, Rav Kook says, b'shum oifen lo yisokum lo yitiye eitzah. The school is not going to lift a person up. It's not going to be an eitzah. It's not addressing the shayrus, the root of the problem. Hamiredes b'kol Hashem. Hakari mitoich ma'amakenish meseyim shal kedoy shel yoinim min yoz vada'ata. From the beginning of time, as he spoke at the beginning of this letter, and in the Torah that we're learning in Eretz HaKodesh, that's from the beginning of the time, the Nevi'im, the Tzaddikim, the Mekubalim, and so on, have been screaming and calling out, "B'kol Hashem Kair HaKair Mitoch Mamakin Nishmesem Shekadosh Al Yoyna." There's a scream, there's a cry that's coming from the depths of the souls of these great holy ones. Mini az v'ad ata, from back then until now. Telling a Jew how to fill the soul. Telling a Jew how to address the root of the problem. Telling a Jew how to overcome this virus, this sickness of kfira, of emptiness, and so on, of fear, of anxiety. The tzaddikim have been crying, have been screaming this out from the beginning of time. From the beginning of time. We are being summoned, we are being called to do great tshuva. Tshuva gedayla anachnu nekroim. The tshuva me'ahava l'kol machshireh, the highest level of tshuva, the tshuva of love. Who's he speaking to? Who's he calling out to that we have to do tshuva? The tshuva gedayla anachnu nekroim. He's speaking to the leaders. He's talking to the leaders of the Jewish people. Which the Talmidei Baal Shem Tov, Rabbi Abunim, the Kotzke, and other tzaddikim said that the leaders are the hardest ones to bring to tshuva. Because oftentimes with that position comes tremendous arrogance. Tremendous, tremendous arrogance. A belief that I know everything and everything that all the schoolers that I'm offering up, if they don't work, it's because there's something that's wrong with you and God hates you or whatever it might be. So if Cook says that we have to do tshuva, the leaders have to do tshuva. As he explains, Anshei HaTorah, people of Torah, Tzvichim Loshu B'tshuva, have to do tshuva Alas nochas ha'isuk b'nishmas ha'Torah, for neglecting, for ignoring the soul of the Torah, nishmas ha'Torah. Davke beis mashbir of Cook writes, the davke beis mashbir godel v'sakona atzum. Davke, a time of a great crisis and tremendous danger. Yeah? Of a great crisis and tremendous danger. Sakona atzum. Sichim lakaches es ha'mu'ula shebetrufis. We have to take the finest and the best of the medications that we have. Radikalim. Radical, because it wasn't that in all generations it was necessarily needed for each person. But now, at the end of time, with the Hest upon him and so on and so forth, like in the story about the prince who had to drink a little bit of the potion that came from the crown jewel of the father's Kesamalch was being pulverized and made into this potion that could save his life. So we have to drink from that potion of the crown of the king in order to fight against the crown of Klipa. Because this crown of Klipa, of Corona that's in the world, it's a physical manifestation of a tumma, of Amalek, of Krirus, of coldness. And emptiness. Corona is a lotion of Ka, of Krirus. The Krirus of the crown of the Klipa. And it's just a simon of something much deeper in Ruchnius that has been wrong for a long time. In the same way that I've been talking about for all of these years, that when they were making these big rallies, the anti-internet rallies, and people misunderstood me, they got angry with me. It comes in general, there's certain shidchiyas, bad chevra. But they were getting angry because I was saying that it's wonderful to do whatever you can to strengthen the shmira when it comes to the internet and to use proper filters to stay away from this as much as possible, and so on and so on. I don't disagree with anything. But I kept on saying, and I keep on saying, that it does not address the underlying problem. It's a school. A filter is a school. It doesn't address the shirish of the problem. Of why is it that this person in his life is in such an empty place that he needs to look at pornography? He needs to spend his life, if not with pornography, with stupidity, with emptiness. That he's made the phone into his entire existence. So you could fill up 1,000 stadiums with people screaming and cheering and waving flags. And I'd like to see the practical outcome. There has been some, but if you don't address the sickness and its shirish, it doesn't go away. It just surfaces and resurfaces, and new mutations, different mutations of the virus. It doesn't go away. So you could work on all of the schoolers, and you're ignoring the underlying issue. The issue of hanefesh lo samala, that the soul is empty. And therefore, we need to have a radical cure. It wasn't always what was prescribed for a Jew, a simple Jew. It wasn't always. But it was already told to us that at the end of time, we were going to need this prescription. Our lives were dependent upon this prescription. The true voice, radikalim, radical cures. Anu muchrochim liyos, He explains, that's Rav Kook, but he explains, when it's a difficult time, when it's a crisis, you can't use the medicine that might have worked yesterday. The medicine that worked yesterday was not, yesterday wasn't a worldwide deathly virus. So if you were able to have some relief with a couple of Tylenol or Advil for your cold, so you'd be foolish to think that that's going to solve this problem. If a person can't breathe, if a person is dying, you need to have new medicine. The medicine is ancient. It's in the beginning. In such a situation of a crisis, there needs to be a mahapecha, a revolution. You can't use a Band-Aid. And Rav Kook speaks about that. We'll see in a few minutes. The people who keep on screaming out, what we need to do is to have another Gemara Shia, more Gemara, more Gemara, more Gemara. More Kepetach Tehillim. That's all true. Whatever Gemara we can learn, whatever Tehillim we can say, it's Gevaldik. But they're talking about the medicine that was able to cure for a long time many different types of sicknesses and ruchnias. But they're watching with their own eyes how, even though we believe that the Torah is Tavlin and has tremendous curative powers, but the Torah is a very big Torah. And the Torah taught us that at the end of time, we were going to have no choice. And it's wonderful. But we have no choice but to enter into the deepest, deepest light of the Torah. To take full advantage of what the Torah is saying. Now, this is radical. Right now, there might be one of the chevra that's listening to this. I know one in particular. Tzaddik of a Balacher who was told by his Rebbe that he shouldn't be learning these things from Rav Kook. He shouldn't be studying Rav Kook. And what medicine is the Rebbe offering? And how is the medicine working with this Balacher and his Chaverim? The Rebbe is still giving the Aspergum and the Band-Aids. And he's so proud of himself that he said over a geshmak ashir that he enjoyed very much, the Bochum, to a large extent, couldn't care the least about. It's not to say that the shir is not great. And if the boys were healthy, they'd be on fire from such a wonderful shir coming from the mouth of such a great maggid shir. But it's not keeping them for their phones at night. Is there any principal or yeshiva now that's deluding himself or a principal lady or herself to think that if you're serving up half hour on the phone or an hour on the phone of Torah to your students while collecting all the tuitions, you're serving up a half hour, an hour on the phone? Just the kids are crowding around one phone or fighting over a phone. And as a result of that, everything is fine. And that they're not indulging in Netflix and other things, and all the other things that are out there. Are you able to go to sleep at night? The virus is not your fault. It's not my fault. It's not anyone's fault. I mean, maybe in China, you know, you're not allowed to say that. But it's certainly not our fault. But we are at fault if we're not giving medical treatment when we have access to it. Which means, of course, all of the regular learning, halavai that, not a half hour a day, an hour a day, five, six, 7 hours a day of Torah. Why not? The ones who are saying that they can't use the technology for that, in all due respect, that's already all falling apart, because parents are just going to rebel and stop paying, because the parents are going out of their minds because they see their kids have nothing to do and are falling into all kinds of tumor. And the explanation is that we can't use, you know, a preloaded Zoom thing. Kiilu 97.8% of the parents don't have all this technology, and doesn't have to have, you know, I was told, doesn't have to have anything to do with the internet, anything bad, God forbid. But to go on making believe that, no, the boys are fine, the girls are fine, everything is fine. And to ignore the responsibility of giving life to the kids under the guise of some sort of a frumkeit that's questionable. I know it sounds terrible, but, and maybe I'll be terribly criticized for this, and it's okay. I'm a Kabbal and I'm a Eichel. The Bershal knows the truth. The Bershal knows that 95% plus of the teachers themselves are using Zoom all the time, and that they're hearing Shirim all the time. That's how they're staying alive. And the kids are watching them use these things. And they're supposed to be proud of their parents, but the parents say to the kids, not the parents, but the institutions, whatever, that are still holding out, say, you can't use these things. You're not allowed to learn Torah. You can't learn Torah like that. The whole reason that this technology ever came out was to save lives like this. And I'm an old-fashioned guy, as you know. And I don't go for all the internet stuff, and I don't do any of that stuff. But right now, I'm talking to you in this way, and we're able at least to have this connection. And I see that there are yeshivas and tzaddikim all over the world that are using this. And if you're a teacher, or if you're a principal, can you go to sleep at night? Because you feel good that you gave some half hour, an hour phone call, and that there's a little bit of chomer that you sent along some pages or something to fill out. When you have the ability to go over four or five, as many yeshivas are doing in many schools, many, 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 4, 5, 6 hours where a kid can see his teachers, his rebbe, can see his friends, can feel connected to the yeshiva. You're able to go to sleep at night not doing that? And what do you think the kids are doing the rest of the day, besides making their parents all together meshuggah and hurting each other and fighting? What do you think they're doing? What do you think they're doing? They're not looking on computers. They're not looking at phones. It's just an example of how the shirish of a problem can be ignored by people who are smart people. And to understand what is the root of the problem, of the sickness. And to give a radical cure. That if all things were the same as they were in the past, we wouldn't have to do any of this. I wouldn't be Zooming. If things were the way that they were in the past. If life was and the world was the way that it was, but it's not. So if Cook says sometimes you have to give a radical cure. Rav Cook's Torahs are that type of new medicine that Hashem brought into the world. It began with Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. There were people who against all the tzaddikim had the fights with Rabbi Shimon. And then later on, through the years, it wasn't like that with the Baal Shem Tov. It wasn't like that with the Ramchal. The Ramchal wasn't put into Chayim. The Ramchal wasn't put into Chayim. The medicine was considered to be radical medicine. And the old school didn't fight against the Ramchal's medicine. Now, if you fight against the Ramchal, you're a Shvegas. But back then, the Ramchal, the Baal Shem Tov, the Pnimius HaTorah from the Vilna Gaon, that has been covered and put away and studied only by some small group of Talmidei Chacham and Tzaddikim, but kept from the rest of the world, making believe that everybody is being cured with the cures that worked in past generations, but are no longer bringing about a Yeshua at the root of the person, who the person is. That's what he's explaining. Rav Kook says, "Anu mukhrachim liyos," and the fellow writes, "Bisman kashm liyitol hafti kedeshtakev yesh hechrich luchel ma'apecha." When there's an emergency, you have to have a ma'apecha. There has to be a ma'apecha, a revolution. Sheikara machshavtis. We're not talking about a revolution with swords and with guns. A revolution in teaching and thinking. Havanas mekamish anishmas atar b'dor hazeh, to understand the role that the soul of Torah must play in this generation. On page 193, Rav Kook writes, "B'psharis l'mechzel l'shish l'reviya mu'um l'niska." All kinds of moderate, less radical methods of trying to cure the sickness, meaning a half, a third, a fourth, they don't work when there's such a strong disease. It doesn't work. Advil doesn't cure coronavirus. But if your doctor just keeps on giving you Advil and tells take two of these every hour, every 4 hours, and go home, you'll be fine. And the next thing, the guy's on a respirator, low lane, and he can't breathe. Our whole generation is suffocating. And we're waiting for the leaders of the generation, Rav Kook saying, and we're saying now, for the leaders of the generation to give us air, to give us the oxygen, not just the Advil that you know about, because that's what your Rebbe gave you 50 years ago, the aspirin. We can't breathe. The kids can't breathe. The generation is suffocating. My wife showed me last night an article that somebody was writing about how there are people who never made Pesach their entire lives. And they're going through terrible, terrible suffering right now. Terrible suffering. They've always been in programs. They've never had a Pesach at home. So somebody was writing an article on how to help these people and was suggesting, as somebody who's always gone through programs himself, was suggesting that try to make in your house that it should resemble in some ways the program that you have in the hotel every year. So try to set aside a little room and make it and call it the tea room, where there's always mezainis and coffee and tea. And try to take turns with different entertainment in the family of putting on shows the way that you're used to having by the Pesach program. So you can recreate the hotel atmosphere in your house. You hear this, Chav? That a person could write such a thing in the midst of this sickness, or the midst of this plague, or this magefa, and not to hear Hashem saying, it's just the opposite. I want you to return home. I want you to recreate life in the home the way that it used to be. Pesach. Don't hear that? You don't hear that? How could somebody not hear that? How could you talk about making a tea room in your house? I mean, gesund teit, if you like to have tea in life, make a tea room. You understand what I'm saying? To try somehow to capture the flavor of the hotel in the misery of your house. There was a thing my wife digesting advertisements for somebody that's paper goods. Some paper goods company sent out an advertisement, stuck at home for Pesach. That's how it began, stuck at home for Pesach. Stuck at home, and you know, you don't have the beautiful china and so on, so they're offering some nice tableware. Stuck at home for Pesach. Yisrael lo yada, amila yisbayne, Yisrael lo yada. The generation is suffocating. It's suffocating for air, for the air of Yiddishkeit, for the air of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for the air of what it means to really, really be a Jew. And you're giving Advil, which we are grateful for Advil, and it's helped a lot. It's also saved lives, I'm sure. But it's now the coronavirus. And Aruchni is Eif Shalastabi Betrufus Chelkiais. You can't use partial cures. Rav Kook writes, Ha'amuna Avda, second line of page 193. Ha'amuna Avda, Ha'alechas Misdaldelas. Faith is lost. It's going and it's getting weaker and weaker all the time. Aleches mizdaldelets. That's why people who are officially maminim are falling apart in fear and in terror. I mentioned this list the other day. If you would see the kind of emails, the kind of things that I've been getting, the fear, the phone calls, the fear. But you're a mom. It's halechas and mizdaldelas. It's very, very weak, the imam. B'nei shehufra teirasa. Ein derish ve'ein mevakesh. Hufra teirasa. Ein derish vein mevakesh. The Torah has been exchanged. It's been rejected. It's been misrepresented. Ein derish vein mevakesh. No one is seeking the depths of Torah. Ein mishadarish v'isik b'Torah samuna. No one is trying to understand what is amuna. What's the sherish of faith? How do I replenish that? How do I strengthen that amuna within myself? Orthodoxy, hamachna tirani amuni, b'malchamta hashlilas. Religious people, Orthodox Jews, b'malchamta hashlilas is using only, is fighting only with the weapon of negativity, meaning screaming at the heretics and the atheists, screaming at the Jews who are no longer keeping mitzvahs, criticizing and yelling, embarrassing and so on. Keis mashkifes atzmo behevle shav demyonis kaisvim, and go on like this by using the negative war against the loss of Yiddishkeit, the changing that's taking place. And Mashkifes Atsma heavily shoved them Yonis Kaiser Shacham and Messias Machriv, my son, Machrivim Imam, as they say. They make themselves feel good with the delusion, the imagination. Meaning the Orthodox Jews, watching what's happening to the kids and and everybody, they delude themselves, the leaders delude themselves. By thinking that we've done everything we can. We have all kinds of ways of fighting against this. The ways are ways of criticism, putting down, mocking and making fun with anybody that's not the way that you are. Throwing people out, kids out, and so on. These are not cures. Machnamunah, he explains, Masapi Malik Satsma, Pisvenish Vidarchis, Maridus, Shemetsam, Hevel Vidimian. All of these weapons of negativity are Hevel Vidimian, Narishka. Nothing, worthless, destructive. Because they don't have the ability to contend with the problem. Rav Kook says, it doesn't give us any nechama to see that the Jews who are not religious, the Jews who have left Yiddishkeit, the Jews who don't believe, are falling apart and being destroyed. Because the old school is saying, you see, all the Apikorsim, all the Rishoyim, all the Mechalei Shabbos, all of these people, look, their lives are falling apart. They have nothing in their lives. They're not happy. Rav Kook says, that doesn't give us any nechama. That gives you nechama? But that confirms that you're right. By showing how they're falling apart, that makes you feel good. We have no chama that the anshei kfir, the ones who are off the derech, the ones who are kaifim, are failing, you know, or whatever in their lives, miserable. So is Ram Kazois. So is Ram Kazois. The fact that these Jews are falling apart, it's not even half a nechama. What kind of nechama is it? Kim tzar kfula. It's not a nechama. The fact that their lives are being ruined because of their loss of faith, that's not a nechama to us. You see, we're right. We're right. We won. Like only the fruma, we know everything. Everything is good by us and so on. Which is also not true. That's just the tzara kfula. That's just the problem is double. The tzara is double. Hayra be'etzba. It shows clearly, Shanira Alai, the Kuyum shall Cheshwe Amachshav, Shabuma is Layitnu, Lono Oiz, Chaim, Kishaelahim, the Rakdvarim Shlili. It doesn't bring any Nechama to try to prove that the other side is wrong. I know that Shabbos is true. You have to keep Shabbos. And if you're not, And then our predictions come true. Your kid married out, and this one happened, and this one did this, and this one did that. So now we have a nechama from that. It's a tzara kfula. It's the biggest tzara. That's not the way that gives strength in life. We are commanded to cure, to do whatever we can, to bring a refuah and Yeshua, not to criticize or to gloat over the consequences of the abandonment of Yiddishkeit. That doesn't give us any comfort. That causes more pain that our brothers and sisters are going further away, that our own children and grandchildren. We don't gloat over that. We have no chama in any of that. It's just more painful. Because you think that you did everything you could. Just read the P.S.S. in his introduction, the Chavos HaTalmidim, when he speaks to the parents and the teachers. So you'd be saying that now, if you begin giving those drushes now, would it cause a tumult? All of the yeshivas would scream out, how could you say that to us? How could you talk about us that way? We're the heroes of the world. We're the greatest heroes of the world. The Rebbe would be thrown out. The defensiveness, the anger of any criticism, not to be able to take any criticism whatsoever, any suggestions of maybe how it could be better, of what could be done to save the generation. Nope. You are going against the system. You are being critical of the greatest heroes of the generation. Well, Hashem Baruch knows the truth. There, and many of them, of course, are heroes of the generation. That's for sure. But Hashem knows the truth. Don't go to sleep at night. Friday night is good. It's going to be geschmack, no? You'll be able to, you don't have to even go to shul. You'll have a nice davening, have a good suda. You go to sleep at night. It'd be good. Friday night, the pillow is soft. It's mechaya. Ura lama seishan. Wake up. Don't go to sleep. Do what you're supposed to do. To save the kids, to save the generation. Whatever we can. That's our achrayus. Hashem's book should help each and every one of us that we should wake up and help others to wake up. And I'm not apologizing for anything that I said. Adrabha. To whatever extent this message could be sent out to the world, it would be a toelis, and if it would be a toelis for a few people, it would be a bracha. Even though it could cause me aggravation, it would be a big bracha. We should be zeichet to see Nechamas in Yerushalayim. Everybody should have refu and Yeshua. I can't see each of you, but I want to wish each and every one of you a lechtig in Shabbos. We should be together. We should not only here, we should be together here, and then to get together and march to Yerushalayim with the Gleshon Amitis. Maybe you may not make a lechtig in Shabbos.